Way back in October, weeks before Thanksgiving, my kids were begging us to get out the Christmas tree decorations and buy a tree. I'm not alone. I actually spoke with the owner of a cut-your-own tree lot who said they had more people calling this year to ask if they could actually cut trees early. Well, we're now in the thick of holiday season, and in the midst of this pandemic, people are yearning for rituals and traditions like cutting a tree for Christmas. But with so much uncertainty, a lot of us have had to cancel traditions or make new ones. And to talk more about how we can do that, we have Evan Ember Black. She's the author of Rituals in the Time of COVID-19, Imagination, Responsiveness, and the Human Spirit. And Hannah Kim, who teaches a class on rituals and is the chair of anthropology at Adelphi University in Garden City, New York. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Evan, you study rituals, family traditions, holidays, and life cycle rituals, and you say all of this gives us a chance to experience what it means to be human. I mean, rituals really are a fundamental part of who we are, right?
They definitely are. All over the world, people have been making rituals throughout history.
Yeah. I'm thinking about how much ritual often requires human contact, though, and so many of us don't have that right now. And the holidays have always been a way of bringing to the surface for a significant number of people a deep sense of depression at a time when the world is telling us to be joyful. Is this something that you're concerned about right now, Hannah?
Oh, of course. May I just step a bit back in time and build on what Evan just acknowledged, the kind of historicity of ritual. Human beings, in our own evolution, we have the archaeological evidence that human beings, even prior to Homo sapiens, the Neanderthals, for example, felt a need to acknowledge their relationships to each other as fellow beings. They demonstrated this through ritual behavior. So the grave sites, for example, the Shanidar gravesite in Iraq, that recently a group of Cambridge anthropologists discovered the burial of these bodies where the head has been placed in a very deliberate manner to acknowledge the death of someone on a rock where the arms have been bent in a particular way. So if we think about just the longevity of the need of beings, Neanderthals, it turns out as well, humans too, to show the ways in which we are tied to each other.
Yes, Evan, it's about making meaning, right? As well as control.
It is. And, you know, I'm not surprised to hear the news we've been hearing about so many more people going out and getting real Christmas trees this year. I do feel concern for these winter holidays. You know, when I wrote the paper that you cited, it was in the midst of the spring holidays of Passover and Ramadan and Easter, and people became extremely imaginative in what they did to still have those rituals but to stay safe. This is when Zoom holidays began. This is when, you know, people found ways to stand outside a house and bring little surprises. And now I think people are kind of worn out on COVID. And so we saw what we saw a few weeks ago in terms of the danger of so many people traveling on Thanksgiving. And now we're beginning to pay the price for that. In terms of our conversation today, I'm really hoping to also send a message that for Hanukkah, for Christmas, for New Year's, for Kwanzaa, if people can again use their imagination and find ways to make rituals and still stay safe.
What are some ways that both of you all think folks can do that? Because you mentioned the spring, people were trying things like meeting outdoors. The weather might have been better, but we're in the thick of winter. Those aren't realistic expectations for folks to do, but there is a deep yearning for it. As you said, we're all kind of tired and we want to be together. Hannah.
Well, I think that this is where each of us, this is where our imagination, our sort of endowed gift for creativity has to kick in. The idea of the drive-by graduation, for example, obviously there are certain things that cannot be done to observe social distancing, not being able to eat together. But what's extraordinary is what can be done, and mm-hmm. that it has to go on a little longer. Well, you know, in the scheme of human existence, this time span, however frustrating, is really very short.
I have a class where each of the students presents a family ritual. And one woman talked about in her family for Thanksgiving, they each pick an item, a food item, and out of a bag, and then they must make a dish from that item. But this year, they couldn't be together. Well, they still sent this around, and they each made an item, and they showed it on Zoom. Is it the same as being together? Of course it isn't. But she said they had fun, they laughed, they, you know, talked together, and they still kept that one aspect of their Thanksgiving ritual alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the time when those individuals, all the rest of us, surely we can sort of think, what is, as I guess I've learned a new word, drill down mm-hmm. to what is perhaps the most salient components of why individual families do what they do, whether it is the winter season or something else. Why? In fact, are we?
Well, I think I think you're sending out a really important message. I'm not sure how many people have thought that through, because some of our rituals we were sort of on automatic pilot.
Yes,
this is how we've always done it because this is always how we've always done it. And you're right. This might be an opportunity to rethink, to imagine some new ways to try something.
Mm. Before I let both of you go, we could talk forever, by the way. I'm loving this conversation. But before I let you go, I want to ask you about another aspect of this. As I mentioned earlier, that rituals offer a sense of control over one's life in many cases. We actually had the authors of a new book called Black Futures on recently, and they have in the book several ritual recommendations, some of them really simple, like baths as a form of self-care during this pandemic, like actually taking a moment during this pandemic to think about the rituals that heal you. What advice would you have for people who are trying to find that sense of control right now?
I do think talking in your family with one another, what could we do that might be different? Maybe we write a little book together. We do try cooking something different and not as elaborate. I think you're right that this can be an opportunity for people to do some reinventing. Mm. And then if they don't like it, I mean, the wonderful thing is they can go back to the way they used to do it next year.
Right, right. Hannah, your last words.
Well, I think rituals by definition are about a certain kind of boundary makingness, about certain recognition of fixing things in place and time. Maybe this is the opportunity for rethinking a desire for control over any particular dimension of one's life. But to consider, this is a real opportunity for asking ourselves, why do I do this? There are many ways to do this besides the usual. And maybe saving a tree along the way.
Hmm. Yes, yes. Buying a fake tree instead of cutting one down.
Oh, I'm not saying you have to do that, Tanya.
I get it, yes. Hannah Kim and Evan Ember Black, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And we want to hear from you. What are your favorite holiday rituals? Are you modifying any of them because of the pandemic? Or have you had to forego some and make sacrifices on others? Or are you making new ones? Tell us all about it at hereandnow.org.